Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. We are so glad that you have joined us. Today, we are thrilled to have neurologist and movement disorders director from Banner Sun Health Research Institute, Dr. David Sprecher. But before we talk to Dr. Sprecher, I want to bring up this topic of dementia. When I'm in the community, sometimes I hear questions from people that are so confused about what dementia is.
And you know, Janice, I think in my experience too, this is probably the number one question I'm asked is, what is dementia? How does it relate to Alzheimer's disease? So I think this is an important topic for us to help untangle today. And I'm really excited to have Dr. Sprecher with us. Dr. Sprecher, before we dive into discerning these different types of dementia, could you tell us a little bit about your journey? What led you to connect with the dementia community?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me. Such a big part of what I do as a neurologist is managing memory and thinking problems, not just movement problems, because the biggest part of my practice by far is taking care of people with illnesses that we call neurodegenerative disease, where the brain degenerates. And of course, the most common one that causes movement problems is Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease is one of many conditions that ultimately leads to dementia, memory and thinking problems that are enough to interfere with everyday activities. And it does so in most people eventually over the course of the illness. So that's how I got involved in dementia. And of course, at Banner Sun Health Research Institute, we deal with many different conditions that affect the brain. And we have a team approach. So I work very closely with the memory specialists, not just on managing these conditions, but on trying to find better treatments.
And I think that's a perfect reason to have you with us here today is because you do have such expertise in these other not vanilla Alzheimer's dementias. I know you gave the definition once already, but could you share with us again, what is dementia?
Yeah, and this is something that it's a very scary word, and people are sometimes afraid to have it brought up in front of the patient. You know, sometimes they want to talk about it separately so that we don't upset them. But, you know, as we get older, at least for me, starting probably in my late 30s or 40s, I found we start to have trouble coming up with words or can't multitask like we used to. So there are memory and thinking problems that are a normal part of getting older. But dementia is a progressive problem where you have enough difficulty either with memory or other thinking tasks to where it starts to interfere with everyday activities. And for many people with dementia, this doesn't mean they don't know what's going on at all, but it's enough to where it's starting to interfere. So many people will start off with just a mild form of it. What's an important problem though is people often confuse the word dementia as a diagnosis, and it's a symptom, but then we still have to figure out what's causing it.
What does cause dementia?
So there are many different causes, of course, and in some cases, they're treatable. For example, you know, Henry VIII, I mean, he really lost his marbles because he had syphilis, and that actually can cause a dementia that has many psychiatric symptoms as well. Vitamin B12 deficiency can cause dementia if it's severe enough. But by far the most common cause is a condition where the brain degenerates, and we call it neurodegenerative condition. That's Alzheimer's disease. And probably the second most common, and this can often coexist with Alzheimer's and other types of dementia, is what we call vascular, where there have been one or more strokes or wear and tear in the brain due to circulation problems that also can interfere with memory and thinking. So those are really your kind of two common causes, or neurodegenerative degeneration in the brain, and then vascular.
Interesting. And can those work in concert with each other too?
Absolutely. And as we get older, unfortunately, there are more and more things that can go wrong with this, I like to say, this fancy sports car we call the human body. There are just so many systems that can break down. And unfortunately, there are other types of dementia that can coexist with the with Alzheimer's and with vascular. And so the next most common, what we call the second most common neurodegenerative type, is called Lewy body dementia. And it's a confusing term because it's often used interchangeably with other words, but it really covers two different types. There's dementia with Lewy bodies, where someone has dementia from the beginning and also may have other symptoms like movement problems. And then there's Parkinson's disease dementia, where someone starts with the symptoms of Parkinson's disease and then the memory and thinking problems come later.
So when you think about the word dementia, one of the questions that I think about that has come to me many times out in the community, if I know I have dementia, or if I know my loved one has dementia, why would I need to get a further diagnosis or to seek out a more accurate diagnosis?
You know, so the single most important reason is occasionally there are actually treatable causes of memory loss. And, you know, we look at it as a tragic thing if someone just had a vitamin deficiency or an infection that we could have treated and that went undiagnosed. So that's the first thing, is to make sure whether there's something treatable.
Okay.
Sometimes somebody could be very sensitive to their medications or have serious sleep problems that are the main cause of their memory or thinking problems. And if we don't really think carefully about the problem and get an evaluation, we could miss that and miss out on actually helping it. The other important reason, though, is not everyone with dementia just has Alzheimer's or, you know, just has one cause. They may have more than one cause. And each of the symptoms have different treatments depending on the diagnosis and the cause. In fact, some of them might even be preventable. For example, if the problem was caused by a stroke and now, you know, the person is starting to recover or could recover, we want to do everything we can to prevent another stroke. So you want to know if somebody has vascular dementia, because there might be a way of preventing another stroke or preventing it from getting worse.
Worse.
And the third reason, besides, you know, the treatments, are we're still at the cusp of finding medications or other approaches that could prevent some of these illnesses from getting worse, or discovering medications that work better for the memory and thinking problems, either of Alzheimer's or Lewy body dementia, for example. So it's important for research that may or may not help the person who has the dementia, but maybe will help the community at large. But these are conditions where the predisposition for Alzheimer's or even for Lewy body may run in the family. And so if there are other family members, then another reason that the diagnosis is so important is it may be relevant as these treatments start to emerge. Because if somebody passes away just with dementia on their death certificate, you may never know for sure what type that was. And then for the future generations in the family, it's going to be hard to tell if the research that's coming out is going to be relevant to them.
Oh, what an interesting point about the family connection that can come with a lot of these diseases. I wonder, you shared with us a little bit about Alzheimer's and you mentioned Lewy body dementia. Could you share a little bit more about the more common types of dementia and maybe how they present themselves and how they look different from the other types?
And I have to preface by saying that not every patient reads the textbook. So we as, you know, doctors, when we first go to medical school, we kind of read, well, with Alzheimer's, you start with just forgetting things and not being able to learn new information. And then with Lewy body dementia, it's more visual spatial perception problems, or being slower in your thinking, trouble with attention. And it's usually accompanied by either recurrent visual hallucinations, or on a regular basis, acting out one's dreams in the night, and spells of profound disorientation or inattentiveness that come and go. So that's what the textbooks say, but it can be a lot more complicated than that. And that's where seeing a specialist that focuses in dementia, and if someone also has a movement disorder problem along with their memory and thinking problem, seeing a movement disorder specialist can be very important to get an accurate diagnosis, because not everyone presents the way that the textbooks say that they should.
That's very interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about when we get an accurate diagnosis? I know that that helps the family so that they know in the future, but how does it help the caregiver today? And are there any other things that you want to share about us with us about the different types of dementia?
Yeah, absolutely. So one important reason that diagnosis helps is each of these conditions may have slightly different treatment considerations and symptoms to watch for. For example, the medication that we use to treat the memory loss problem in Alzheimer's disease may be even more helpful if someone has Lewy body dementia. However, if someone has a less common type called frontotemporal dementia, where it mainly affects a person's ability to multitask and their language abilities, or just changes their behavior, those memory enhancers could actually make their behavior worse and make them more irritable. So the wrong medication for the wrong condition could cause problems. Also, if someone has symptoms that lead us to diagnose Lewy body dementia, then medications that might help with behaviors like irritability or even hallucinations and delusions in someone with Alzheimer's disease could make someone with Lewy body dementia profoundly worse. Those are the antipsychotic medications. And so it's important that if we're even considering that a person could have Lewy body dementia, we're very careful to avoid certain antipsychotic medications that could make their symptoms a lot worse.
You know, as I think about this, and I think about people in the community that are struggling with dementia and what's going on in their families with their person who has dementia, I think about how fortunate we are in this West Valley of Phoenix to have Banner Sun Health Research Institute and all the work that you do there as the Movement Disorders Director. When someone comes into your clinic, how do you do this accurate diagnosing? How do you find out?
So the single most important thing that we do is getting a timeline and getting an accurate story about what happened. And that's where, you know, even during a pandemic, people are kind of worried, you know, are we going to have to avoid having anyone come in? Should we have just the patient come in and we'll talk to the doctor later? No, we need to have someone present, you know, not just to keep the patient honest, you know, so that they admit right. what's going on, but to help us kind of piece together the story. So the history is one of the most important things that we do. And that's where, you know, what we have the luxury of doing in our clinic is we schedule enough time so that we can get the details right. One other important thing, though, is if there's already testing that's been done, or there've been brain scans done elsewhere, having that information available up front to review together can be also be very important. Now, when we do our exam, people have very detailed testing of their memory and thinking problems, you know, both at the visit, but also in often in a separate meeting with our neuropsychology team. But what we're also looking for are movement problems. As I mentioned, the second most common neurodegenerative cause of dementia after Alzheimer's is Lewy body dementia. And that can cause problems where there's slowness and stiffness in the movements and tremors that would actually lead us to think about Lewy body dementia and not just Alzheimer's disease. So that hands-on exam is important, and we do try to meet with the person in person, you know, using a mask and wiping everything down between patients, even during a pandemic, for that very first visit, even though we still can follow people up using telemedicine for subsequent visits. Now, there are situations where things aren't quite adding up, where the brain scans can be very important to narrow things down. For example, the MRI or the CAT scan can tell us if there are changes that would suggest circulation problems like stroke, so vascular dementia, problems draining the spinal fluid, something called normal pressure hydrocephalus, that actually is a reversible cause of dementia. Furthermore, we may order brain scans that help actually tell between Alzheimer's and other types, like the frontotemporal dementia, we call the PET scans. And then we have other scans that can look for changes in the brain that we usually see with Lewy body and related dementias. And we call that the DAT scan. So there's all kinds of acronyms you'll hear thrown at you when you're meeting with specialists, but these scans are very useful in the right hands to make an accurate diagnosis.
Well, Dr. Sprecher, we want to thank you for helping us to untangle kind of this complicated picture of what is dementia and what is Alzheimer's disease and how do all of those work together. I think we had a lot of good take-home messages from this. And I think probably for me, the biggest take-home is the importance of actually going in and getting that accurate diagnosis from someone who can tease out the differences between these dementias. Could you please share any final thoughts or take-home messages that you'd like to impart to our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, one important thing that people often experience, if we make a diagnosis of Lewy body dementia, there are many symptoms that are unique to or much more common with Lewy body dementia. And when we accurately diagnose those symptoms, they often have treatments that can actually improve quality of life and manage the symptoms for a considerable period of time. So we have treatments that can alleviate the hallucinations or delusions. We have treatments that can improve problems with low blood pressure standing up, where a person actually stops fainting every time they stand up or stops being so fatigued on their feet. And so that accurate diagnosis, particularly with Lewy body dementia, can lead to treatments that can manage the symptoms and extend quality of life, sometimes for a year or several years. One of the important things, though, is while we want to do everything we can to maintain that quality of life, we still have to be prepared. These are illnesses that continue to worsen over time. We don't have a cure or an effective treatment that can slow the decline yet. And so we still have to be prepared and really use a team approach to plan ahead for that progression of the illness so that we can already be able to provide additional support to our caregivers, even transition to a living situation that's more practical if someone needs round-the-clock care or can't be left alone by themselves for any period of time. So it's important to have an accurate diagnosis, not just to treat the symptoms, but to know what to expect and to be prepared for it.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sprecher, for helping to clarify with us this morning. Janice, it's been a pleasure having this conversation with you and helping to tease this out for our listeners.
It's been such a pleasure having all of you here together, but especially again, thank you, Dr. Sprecher. What an honor to have you as the Movement Disorders Director of Bannerson Health Research Institute be with us today on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org and follow us on Facebook to learn more about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.